we work around the room, I'd like to see if anyone's got any wins for this week. I'll start with mine. So in 5 hours' time, I'm getting a bus to Heathrow Airport, and I'm off to Costa Rica to see a lot of the members and a lot of the staff for our first annual members only camp in Costa Rica, which I'm really excited for. And not excited about the traveling. It's about 21 hours for me all in, but I'll get there eventually. Oof. Joshua, do you want to start with a win for me? You're next to me.
Yes, sir. Well, Greg, my win's not quite as awesome as that. I guess you could argue maybe. Kind of subjective, but I wish I could be there with everybody. I'm with Coach Andrew, and I told him, I'm like, man, it's just such a busy time of the year for us. It's December's are hard. But yeah, I look forward to seeing everything and the pictures and all the things. I'm stoked for everybody that's going. It seems like it's been a good turnout. So enjoy everybody.
For
Win for
sure.
me is something small, but I think I don't. I mean, I've been working out for a while, and I think just recently coming over the mindset of the lifting days or the non-lifting days for me are always mentally tough because I want to be lifting. And I think over the past couple weeks, maybe 2 weeks, I mean, I feel so great on the days that I don't, and like mentally, I think I'm in such a great spot compared to where I've been in the past of, just wanting to lift. So I don't want to take up too much time. But yeah, huge win for me just to be able to like go in, do some stretching, get some cardio done, do one quick exercise to focus on something we need to focus on, and feel really great coming out of it, mentally and from a recovery standpoint.
No, that's cool. That's a cool one. I appreciate that. I think there'll be more notice in terms of the events that we have coming up. I think we're planning on getting out our events list early 2024 so that you guys can plan ahead a little bit better in terms of some of the camps that we're going to be putting on. So I think that'll be really exciting. It'll be a lot better for everybody in terms of planning for these kind of things, of course, especially as we're all very busy, so hopefully we'll have a little bit better organization in that way. Renee, do you want to share a win before we start?
Sure. Just started. I did Lean for Life. I've seen Brian before back in the day towards the end of it. Started with Coach Andrew. And he was so the win for me would be just getting started. Starting with the videos and getting my mobility back. It had slipped more than I thought after getting back into some of the exercises and the LDOAs. So just mobility is on the right path. So that's a win for me.
That's good. Good win. Doesn't always have to be those. It doesn't always have to be everyone's like either fat loss or muscle gain. There's loads of other wins out there that we can pick
Oh,
out.
yeah.
So that's a good one. Brian. You go.
Yeah, like Renee, I just started. This is my second week, and I'm with Coach Andrew Casey. And I knew him from the Lean for Life program, which I did not show up for. And now I'm doing the the weekly coaching calls and daily updating, and it's working out better for me with accountability. So I think for me, it's just showing up and getting moving and working with a coach with muscle intelligence that is holding me accountable. And pushing rather than pussyfooting around,
Yeah, I think so. When someone's not watched, yeah, we're all very similar. I can't remember what it's actually called. They've coined that something. But sometimes when you have that feeling that someone's watching you tend to do things a little bit better more regularly. So sometimes it is that little bit of extra push that you need. So I get that completely. So welcome. I think Andrew's great, and he'll keep you on track. Dom, have you got a win for the week?
Just returning back to focus after doing a lot of interview prep last week. So, yeah.
That's right, dog. On the job hunt, brother. You'll smash it.
Yeah.
Good. And so are you?
Hey, how's it going?
How are we doing?
For me, I guess it's been more the, well, I can't really pinpoint which one
the Hawthorne.
Is, yeah. Yeah, but definitely the being really consistent on the food. I don't know if it's my body type, being an ectomorph, like always was stimulated by foods in the past in the wrong way. And I think I've been pretty clean, like, for the most part in the diet, but then I would have like some binging days. But I don't know, that's been a really game changer for me. The clarity, the focus, no brain fog. It's amazing, like the energy. And obviously, Coach A has been a big part of it, like keeping me accountable, daily top five, sending them in every day. Really, really a pleasure working with him. He's awesome.
Who did you say it was? Your coach?
Coach Andrew.
Ah, yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like you talk about clarity and energy. Sometimes when we actually balance out blood sugar, finally. So like you find people who seek out highly palatable foods, there's a psychological component to it, but there's very much a physiological component where people, when they go through that blood sugar roller coaster, that they're dictated by their appetite. So how they feel, the energy they have is very much dictated by the foods they eat. But what sounds like what you've got, that mental clarity of consistent energy from good food and good blood sugar regulation. And it's a nice place to be at, because food doesn't dictate how you feel now, which is great.
Right.
You just eat to fill yourself up. It's a great place to be in. So that's nice to hear. Last one, then we'll get started. Andrew, do you want to give us a win for the week? I know you're only just in the door.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess just some small wins for me getting started. I just finished knocking out my assessment workouts. I'm working with Coach Dan. He's an incredible coach. I guess no overt wins to share apart from that. Aside from, I mean, just small daily wins, you know. It's like was mentioned earlier, it's a lot easier to stick to the things that I already know I should be doing when there's somebody there that's going to ask me if I've been doing those things. So, definitely excited to report some more wins in the coming weeks.
I think Andrew put it down. It's called the Hawthorne effect. So when you know someone's watching you, you're more inclined to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I know. Nice. I appreciate that, Andrew. So we'll get started. So for some of you guys, you may not have seen me before. My name's Greg. I generally take the second Wednesday of every single month, we go through some sort of nutritional aspect. So over the last 6, 7, 8 months, there's been loads of different ones. So we've done digestive health, we've done cardiovascular health, erectile dysfunction, metabolic flexibility, cognitive decline, brain health, all these different metabolic issues. So if you have interest in any of those, they're all recorded and should be available for you in the Facebook group. Now, I make the mistake sometimes of thinking that everyone has the extreme interest in nutrition that I have. So we've done deep dives into a lot of things in the past. Today, I wanted to keep it, especially because there's a load of new guys or new-ish guys on the call. I wanted to keep it a little bit more towards, not simple, but some more real applicable information that you guys can use to directly go and action ASAP, especially as Christmas is coming up. Because sometimes we look at, we tend to sit in extremes, right? So we want to either be perfectly off on plan, or we tend to be imperfectly off plan. So I want to show you guys a way that you can stay on plan throughout Christmas, even if it's not exactly how you plan it to be. So even if it's not exactly to the calories, exactly to the macros. So we'll try and do that. I will share my screen with you. And we can get started. Any questions throughout, guys? Don't hesitate. You can stop me. I'll see the chat. Or you can save them for the end. Just give this one sec. So today we're going to go through how you guys can set up your own diet and supplement plan. Now, again, this isn't a takeaway from what the coaches, from what your coaches have given you. They're the plans that you want to stay on 90% of the time. This is what you can do the 10% of the time where you may not be willing to track your calories, or you may just want to break from it and you want something a little bit simpler in order to go and achieve whatever your goal is. So whether your goal is muscle gain, whether your goal is fat loss, maintenance, health, whatever it is, you can use some of these methods in order to stick to your plan without tracking calories and macros. I'll touch on supplements is where people tend to get lost. So you get into the weeds of supplementation and people think that they need to be on 20, 30 different tablets a day in order to achieve their goals, when really the vast majority of people don't know why they're taking anything. They've just seen it somewhere. This deals with inflammation, this deals with this. And they, most of the time, they don't know the mechanisms. And second of all, they don't actually know their own deficiencies. So it is like throwing metaphorical shit at the wall and hoping some of it sticks. So hopefully I can teach you guys some of like the tiered system that we use in MI sometimes. So we say like, this is the stuff that most people need. This is the situational stuff that people may need. And this is the high-end performance stuff that people need. And then you can kind of pick out some of the stuff that you can use based off what you think you need. So I wanted to go into today. We'll touch on the actual macros and the importance of them. I think we always think of carbohydrates for energy. We think of protein for muscle. And then we think of fat as like the filler, right? But these macronutrients play a huge role in our overall health. And I wanted to teach you guys some of the reasons why protein, fat, and carbohydrates are extremely important for you. And some of the things that they do for our health outside of the traditional things that we tend to hear. Okay, so we'll break down the macros slightly. We'll go through the hierarchy of supplements, and we'll then kind of talk about how to put this all together around the Christmas period. So this is where people always think protein, muscle. It's so much more than that for our overall health. Someone's going to correct me on this, I'm sure. It's either Latin or Greek, where protein literally means primary. It is the most important of the macronutrients out there, although there is always some debate, right? So you'll hear some people say if you've got kidney issues, you shouldn't need higher protein. You'll hear some people say that for longevity, it may not be appropriate and maybe we should rotate it. But I think out of all the macronutrients, it has the least controversy in terms of its benefits for health. Muscle growth is obviously the primary thing that you guys will think about when you think about protein and the satiety factor that comes with it. But we tend to forget all the other factors. Immune function is huge. And I tend to use anecdotes when it comes to this kind of thing. Like when we think about people who regularly get sick, protein deficiency is one of the key reasons for that. Every single white blood cell within your body is made up of protein. I think about my son, for example. He's 2.5, and getting him to eat meat is a pain in the ass. And literally, me and my wife, it is our goal for him dietarily to find ways to increase his protein intake, because she realizes how important it actually is for his immune function. So it's not just about muscle growth and his development. It's about his immune function development. When you look at people who get sick regularly, people will automatically jump to vitamin C, zinc, vitamin A to try and solve these problems, when maybe not for you guys because you eat enough protein, but when you think of your wider family and your friends, it's definitely something that has to be taken into consideration. Enzymes is another really important factor. So enzymes catalyze reactions. So you can think about it in terms of energy production. So energy dictates everything. Okay. So Antonio was talking about how he feels more sustained energy and he's not dictated by his blood sugar anymore. That's an ability to produce more energy consistently. And enzymes help us to do that. And they are all made up of proteins. So it's really, really important. Hormone production, not the traditional ones that you guys might be thinking about. So it's not testosterone or it's not the sex hormones. It's more when you think about growth hormone, when you think about insulin, insulin-like growth factor, all these things are polypeptides and made of protein. Provide structure, so collagen and elastin. We always think about collagen supplementation for our skin, for our connective tissue. It's all protein. I won't get into too much into the next bit, but like maintain proper pH of the body. They transport molecules and nutrients. Hemoglobin that carries oxygen is a protein. Ferritin that stores iron is a protein. When we look at its role for the overall body, it's far more than just muscle growth. And it does provide energy. So we can use it to produce ATP or energy. We probably don't want that to be its primary role, but it can do that. So it provides energy as well for us. When we look at fats, this is where the controversy begins, right? We all have been, anybody who's been around long enough has seen the nutritional pendulum swing, right? So in the 80s, fats is what caused heart disease. Then we saw it swing the other way in the early 2000s, where fat doesn't make you fat, was the saying. And now we're seeing it's kind of swing and settle somewhere in the middle. But I don't know if you guys have, James Smith is big in the States, but he's very big influencer in Britain. And his saying is calorie fucking deficit. That's it. That's all he pushes is if you need to lose weight, calorie fucking deficit. And it's fairly legit in its approach, right? You need to eat less food in order to drop body fat. But one of the things it tends to neglect is the actual function of some of the macronutrients. So most people will try and pull fats because fats have higher calories per gram. So it's 9 calories per gram. When we look at the other macronutrients, it's 4. So people will try and remove this. But fats are what produces our testosterone, our estrogen, our cortisol, all these hormones. When we look at like the cell membrane structure, so the trillions of cells within your body, their outer layer is made up of fat. And the types of fats are really important, guys. And I'll get into that in a sec. This is one of the arguments, like when people talk about fat consumption, and then you don't just have to worry about the fat that you eat. You have to worry about the kind of it. But we've got, and I don't know, like some, when we get on these calls, there's some people who are extremely well-versed in nutritional education, and there's some people that are a little bit further back and haven't really looked into this stuff before. They just look prefer to be told, right? But we've got lots of different types of fats, but the essential fatty acids that we have are like omega-6 and omega-3. And people always look at the omega-6s as pro-inflammatory and damaging, and then the omega-3s from fish oil are anti-inflammatory and rejuvenative. It's not quite that simple, but we need a balance between these things. So the types of fat that we eat in balance will determine how healthy we are. Omega-6s are really important. If our body perceives, this is where immune function is important, if our body perceives threat, if we've got a pathogen, if we've got damaged muscle tissue, omega-6 will indicate to the immune system to come in and deal with that problem. But omega-3 then will come in and signal to the immune system that we have resolution and it's over. So you see how it's like the yin and the yang. We need balance in the fats we eat. I love, there's a nutritionist based out of Dublin called Owen Lacey. I believe he was on Ben's podcast not that long ago. If anyone listened to it, he's the guy from Dublin. Much stronger accent than I do, man. He's quite hard to understand, even for me. But he always talks about like the ABC of nutrition. So it's adequate protein, balanced fats, and then we'll touch on it in a sec. He'll say like controlled carbohydrates. So balancing the fats is really important within our diet. So making sure that we don't just have fats from meat, that we get fish oil, we get avocado oil, we get olive oil, we get even primrose oil. All these things balance the fats within our body to make sure we've got inflammatory control. And then it's obviously a fantastic energy source at rest. It is not a good energy source for training. It is okay. It will do the job. But if your goal is ultimate performance, then you probably getting into like carbohydrates, right? So when people, this is the most highly debated in terms of the macronutrients now. And it is a tricky one because carbohydrates don't do that much in the body. They don't do a wide array of things. You think of they're an energy source, they're muscle sparing, they're great for performance. And then people will always say there's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate. And that's true. So we've got essential amino acids, we've got essential fatty acids. There's no such thing as an essential carbohydrate. I'll come back to that, Joshua. Thank you. So, apologies, I'm out there having a bit of a brain fart. So when it comes to carbohydrates, we just think of it as just an energy source. But the brain and the central nervous system work amazingly off glucose. And the reason why it's not essential is because our body has made so many ways to account for the fact that we might be low on carbohydrate. So it produces all these other methods to produce glucose within our body because it is that important. We have five hormones to increase glucose in the body. So if glucose goes really low, we've got five hormones to try and deal with that. That indicates how important glucose or carbohydrate actually is as an energy substrate. Like I said, energy production dictates everything. If we've got low glucose and we can't use fatty acids for fuel, blood sugar drops and we have all these hormones to bring it back up. So I would argue that carbohydrates are extremely important. We just don't need to take them in through diet all the time, right? So we can create them from fat. We can create them from protein. It's called gluconeogenesis. Gluco, glucose, neo, new, genesis, growth. So the growth of new carbohydrate within the body. But it's very much the variable macronutrient when it comes to dieting, because it tends to be the one we remove when we're dieting. It tends to be the one that we increase when we're trying to put on muscle mass. And that's normally the way I like to approach it with people as well. So when we look at like a meal plan for fat loss, so if you're not sticking directly with the calories that you should be consuming, like, you know, it's Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. I don't know what you guys call the day after Christmas. We call it Stephen's Day in Ireland, or it's Boxing Day in the UK. But a lot of the time, maybe you don't want to track macros, right? You don't want to be weighing your food. There is other ways to go about this, right? There is other ways to go about this. So you can use the hand method, which I'll touch on. So you can set up your plate in a certain way where you put protein in one area, you put veggies in the other, you put fat in the other. We can use hand measurements, which I'll touch on in a few minutes, to do that. But when we look at fat loss in particular, there's always the questions that people tend not to know about. Like, does meal timing matter in fat loss? Do we need more carbs or more fats? Where does protein fall? Protein always is the standard variable. So it always, the consistent variable, it always stays around about the same, whether we're going into a surplus or a deficit. And that can change, like depending on how aggressive the deficit is. But meal timing tends not to matter for fat loss. When our body is breaking down tissue and breaking down fat, it is extremely efficient at taking up nutrients, right? It perceives threat because it is in a way a threat when we try and lose body fat. So it will absorb nutrients extremely well. So meal timing technically doesn't matter. You could get all your macronutrients in, ideal for appetite. But if all things accounted for, calories and protein accounted for, if you had everything in one meal, you would probably lose the same amount of weight as you had it over three. However, that doesn't account for appetite regulation and the hunger throughout the day. So there's loads of research showing that people who front load their calories tend to be less hungry. And what I mean by front load is they eat majority of their protein and fat early in the day. And it's like a pyramid. So they'll eat most of their calories, protein and fat in the morning, and food will slowly come down as the day goes on. You might have heard it, like eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a pauper is kind of the way it tends to go with that. So if you're struggling to regulate your appetite while you're in a fat loss phase, it can be a very effective way to front load your calories, eating most of your protein and fat first thing in the morning, and then slowly lower, and then sorry, lowering the amount of food you intake throughout the day. I like to go with most of my clients lower carbohydrate in fat loss. I think, and through experience, it helps lower appetite an awful lot better. I wouldn't say lower, it helps to regulate it. So it allows you to not be consistently overburdened by the thought of food all the time when you go lower carbohydrate. A lot of people who have excess body fat don't regulate their blood sugar well anyway. And sometimes removing carbohydrates from that can be really, really effective. It's very individualized though. So they're finding a lot of these genetic SNPs in people where they actually figured out that some people produce more energy when they eat more carbohydrates. Some people produce more energy when they eat more fats. So it can be individualized, but I'm talking in generalities here. Meal plan. Now, I couldn't find the perfect plate for this. It really annoyed me. I tried to find it for ages, but I couldn't. Now, I would look to go like, so it would be protein. You'd be eating much more starch in this kind of circumstances. So potato, pasta, or rice, whatever it may be. And you would still have some fat in there. But you can see the plate will be made up slightly different than it would be from when you're dieting. But meal timing now matters. So if you're in a muscle gain phase during Christmas period, and maybe you're not tracking your calories, maybe you're not following exactly what your meal plan is, consistently eating more often is more important. Because we're in a calorie surplus, we're trying to stimulate mTOR. mTOR is the signaling pathway that indicates growth, right? So trying to put on muscle mass, we need to stimulate it more regularly. So at least 3 to 4 meals a day in order to achieve that. And I tend to aim on the side of increased carbohydrate in those kind of circumstances, especially if you're already lean and you're trying to put on muscle mass. I would look at increasing much more in terms of carbohydrates in that kind of stage. It is important because actually, if you're in a surplus, right, there's this threshold that we're all trying to teeter within. So like a certain amount of calories above your maintenance and you put on muscle mass, a little bit too much over that and it starts to deposit as fat. So unless you're assisted, like unless you're on steroids, there's always this little threshold here that we're trying to stay within to get the optimal amounts of muscle growth with minimal fat. But if you spill over that, what do you want to spill over in? Is definitely carbohydrates, because surprisingly, carbohydrates are hard to turn into body fat. Fat's easy. Fat just goes into fat cells. It's not a debate. It's physiologically is the easiest process. Carbohydrates have to go through a process called de novo lipogenesis. So they have to be converted over into fat to be put into fat cells. And that's really energy demanding. So you actually burn calories in that process. So when you're trying to put on muscle, carbohydrates can definitely be your friend, but also they fuel performance. Protein always stays consistent, right? So whether you're sitting in a deficit, whether you're going into a surplus, it will always stay within certain ratios. And it still, as you can see, normally makes up the majority of your plate. Now, I lay claim to none of these. This method was created by Precision Nutrition to try and find a different way other than standard calorie counting or eyeballing food, trying to assess how you can go about still losing body fat or gaining muscle when you're on the go. So this is how they do it. So they figured out like a palm size of protein because it's based on our own body size, and it stays consistent and the same. Well, it should do. I don't think we're growing anymore. So unless you're taking a lot of growth hormone, it should stay the same. Then you can have one portion, so like a fistful of vegetables, one cooked hand of carbs, and a thumb of fat, right? That's generally how the plate should be made up. Now, they came up with a lot of different ways to try and achieve that based on what your goal is. So if you're, as you can see from the top end of that, if you're trying to lose fat and overall body weight, and your preference is lower carbohydrate, so 2 pounds of meat, 2 handfuls of vegetables, 3 thumbs of fat, right? So 3 meals a day, spaced that way. If the goal is more balanced, improve health, maintain body weight, maybe you'll have 2 handfuls of carbohydrates. If your goal is gain muscle, maybe you'll try with 3 handfuls of carbohydrates and lower the vegetable intake based off those goals. But these are really simple ways throughout, particularly the holiday period. If you're on the go and you don't have an opportunity to weigh things, these are ways that you can really easily stick to a plan. And I always like to think of these kind of targets as, if you're coming into the silly season and there's events, there's Christmas parties, there's meals out with family, and you may be over consuming, right? And that tends to happen. These are great ways to lead up to it, because these will lead to massive increases in satiety for you. So if you've got a meal in the evening that you know you're going to overconsume, you're going to have a few alcoholic drinks, that's fine. But you want to make sure that the 2 meals prior to that are full up of your plate like this, because this allows you the opportunity then to go and do it. Why vegetable is decreasing gain muscle? So Dom, I would say it's decreased because of total volume of food. So if you're doing 3 fistfuls of vegetables, 3 handfuls of carbs on a plate, the actual volume of food is going to be really big. So if you're trying to flip it to try and increase calories, sometimes removing some vegetables and just replacing it with starchy carbohydrates can be a beneficial way to do that. And not having to eat so much volume in terms of food. So I do mean for no other reason than that, why vegetables might be decreased in that circumstance. But this gives you a really good insight into how you can eat and still stick to a goal. Now, what supplements you need? That probably should say, do you need? Apologies. This is where people, not, I wouldn't say they tend to really struggle, but they tend to overdo it. So like sometimes I'll get people who send me on a list and there's 30 supplements on there, and I could ask why, and most of them wouldn't be able to give you an answer. And I think one of the things we massively neglect is the simple things when it comes to supplementation. And I know some of you guys are new, so looking at some of the things that you might be deficient in is quite an easy thing to do. Ooh, that's a bit blurry. So like when we look, and this is general population, these are the things that we are deficient in as a population. And if you look at like the classic ones that I see regularly all the time, that's actually not, it is here, but it's lower down. I see B12 all the time. I see B6 all the time. Vitamin C, vitamin A, magnesium all the time. Folate, so when people talk about like heart health, vitamin E, which is one of the fat soluble vitamins, and it's a really potent antioxidant. We're extremely deficient in a lot of different vitamins and minerals. None of us have a curcumin deficiency. None of us have a resveratrol deficiency. Now, those supplements can be used. They can be extremely beneficial if you're using them as an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. They're great. I give them out, right? But if, as we spoke about earlier with enzymes, enzymes catalyze and make energy within the body. And like we said, energy dictates everything. The amount, the more energy you can produce as a human, the healthier you'll be, the more vitality you'll have, the better mental health you have. Everything is dictated by energy production. So if these, B6 is needed for energy production, folate, magnesium, if you're deficient in these basic nutrients, then you're not going to produce energy efficiently. Iron and copper are also. So consider some of these before you start jumping and taking slightly more nuanced supplementation. Know where you might be before. But Ben was brilliant. He looked at a lot of the I guess you could call deficiencies that we tend to see as coaches. And he kind of put them into tiers. So a lot of the time with people, these are the things that we're seeing. So magnesium is a big one that people are deficient in. If you're struggling for sleep, magnesium is normally the first place I start outside of the normal things. Like, don't be drinking coffee at 8 o'clock at night, right? Easy win. Cigarettes, don't be smoking. That'll help you to sleep if you don't smoke. But magnesium is a huge one. And it's massively deficient in the soil. The soil has almost been completely stripped of it due to farming practice. Zinc, we do see deficiencies in people, for sure. Omega-3 is an easy win. The vast majority of us don't eat enough fish, and we probably don't eat enough high-quality fish. So supplementing with omega-3 is an easy win. I left collagen in there. Not necessarily something I'd always concern myself with, but getting down to slightly more of the easy ones, like methylated B vitamins, all these, so B1, B2, B3, B6, and lipoic acid. These are the vitamins that help us to produce energy. So like, if you're B vitamin deficient, you won't produce energy efficiently, and you'll be tired, lethargy, won't have great training capacity. And then vitamin D, we tend to see deficiencies in a lot of people as well. Like, I see a lot of blood tests with a lot of people with low vitamin D. So that's also something that we can use quite regularly, especially depending on the place of the world that you're in, whether you get decent sun exposure. Creatine, for sure, is so dirt cheap. And I don't know how someone hasn't figured out to sell an expensive one yet. I don't know how USADA hasn't banned it yet, because it's got so many performance-enhancing benefits. It's not just about putting on muscle, man. Like, when people talk about methylation, like, it's huge. It's Gary Brecken, who's become quite famous now. He was on Joe Rogan, and he talks about methylation. Some of his stuff is a lot of crap. But one point he fails to mention is that methylation, its predominant role is to create creatine. So if you actually give the body creatine, it takes away that burden straight away. It's excellent. Any ever had traumatic, you know, anyone who's had traumatic brain injury and doesn't produce energy well within the brain, creatine's been shown to be really beneficial there. So these are some of the things that you can take. But the ones I would look at, and I probably give to the vast majority of the population, would be creatine D, methylated B vitamins, omega-3, and magnesium. Like, just as those simple standard things that we can start to take in. Without jumping to super fancy expensive supplementation. Now, this is Ben's actual stack in terms of performance. Okay, so like, glutamine is an amino acid, but it can be used as an energy substrate quite well if you're training. Alpha GPC increases choline in the brain, so it increases focus massively. I don't know if anyone's ever done like exams or had to read a particular amount of work. Alpha GPC is amazing for focus, but it transfers to the gym really well. The other ones like that I would specifically be looking at, like, caffeine's obviously great, performance enhancing without doubt. Just be careful. Like I said, only when needed or necessary. Has anyone ever tried, Has anybody ever tried L-tyrosine for pre-workout? So you just put in yes or no if you have. L-tyrosine is the precursor to Matt's. I know Matt's has. You've tried it all. Yeah, so L-tyrosine is the precursor amino acid for dopamine. So dopamine, we think of it as the hormone, the neurotransmitter of pursuit. So dopamine makes us want something, and it makes us work towards that. And tyrosine can be really beneficial for training. You got to be careful sometimes, because there is a little bit of a... Some people can get a little bit of a downer afterwards. So it's not always ideal for everybody, but it can be really beneficial if you ever tried L-tyrosine. Some stuff here based around mitochondrial support as well can be beneficial. Then just take more. Yeah, you can do that. But these would be tier two kind of supplements. So like these would be more performance based. And then his tier three, he puts in like, this is a really difficult part, right? So when we look at tier three, this is more situational stuff. So this is where it's hard to say, like, would this benefit you? It's hard to tell. Like, I don't know if you've ever like taken berberine, but like if you already have symptoms of low blood sugar, may not be ideal, right? So some of this stuff isn't perfect in terms of applicable to you. The first two tiers, when we go back, when we look at like the essential parts here, are great for the vast majority. These are great for performance for the vast majority of people. These get a little bit more specific. Okay. But these are good ideas and ways you can use. And also, I decided to stick it in because we're getting close to Christmas. If you need something for a hangover cure, these are the stuff that have been proven to help. All right. I went through the research today to try and find you a good hangover cure. It tends to be based around lowering brain inflammation, lowering lipopolysaccharides within the gut, and then detoxing acetaldehyde, which is technically what alcohol turns into. Z-biotics have been anecdotally shown to do that. Curcumin does it, B6 in particular does it. So if you guys are going to suffer from a hangover starting and finishing your session with a combination of that may help a little bit. All right. Now, how do we put it all together for you guys? So you know all these things. You can use hand sizes. You know supplementation. So know your goal, number one. So is your goal fat loss, right? If you need to think that you need probably more of a protein source and a more vegetable-based source, if it's muscle building, then you may want to think about a little bit more it's carbohydrate intake, like starchy carb intake. You can follow hand portions when you can't track. It's a great way to know that you're still sticking as closely to your plan as possible. You need to supplement to cover your bases first, then seek performance and situational. People jump to performance-based supplements so fast when really, like, they've got these huge deficiencies in magnesium and zinc and, like you said, vitamin E and vitamin A, but they automatically jump to taking alpha GPC. They jump to taking tyrosine. You need to cover the basics first, guys. One thing that wasn't there that tends to be deficient in people is vitamin C as well. I don't know why that wasn't on the list, but vitamin C can also be very, very beneficial, especially as we come into the winter months in terms of if you guys, I didn't put in the immune protocol here, but if you get sick, we do have an immune protocol, which is really, really effective at lowering the amount of time that you'll be sick for. Now, I put these in, right, for any of you guys who fall off the wagon during the Christmas period. People think they're extremely, they think their problems that they suffer with around eating are extremely individual to them. They are to a certain extent, but they have a lot of similarities with everyone else's problems. Right. So people follow the same patterns all the time. So Andrew Nichol, right? Now listen. So we've got these things have all been coined. So we got last meal syndrome. So hands up if you've done this before. I know I have. It's Sunday. You're planning on starting the diet Monday. So you eat all the food in the house in preparation. It is the most, I've done it 100 times myself, but it is the most stupid thing ever when it comes to dieting. It's like trying to save money by spending all your money first, right? Then we got the fuck it button. You go too aggressively Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You press the fuck it button on Wednesday. Boom, massively overconsume. And instead of getting back on plan on Thursday, you say, I'll start again next Monday. And you do all out eating. So when you talk about when you fall off the wagon, and you have a cheat meal, a bad meal, whatever it is, nobody, and I'm responsible for this as well, nobody just draw lines under it. Just draw a line under it and move on. People will massively overconsume. Then they'll press the fuck it button, and then they'll overeat for 5-6 days before they start the diet again next Monday. All right? Think about those things. If you have an off meal, you have the next meal to get it right. That's enough talking. That is enough. Okay, guys. Have any of you got any questions based off any of that? Is there anything in the chat?
Greg, I've got a question for you, mate. Sorry, my camera's not on. It's Keith.
No worries, Keith.
Thought behind, so it's something I've had thrown around quite a bit. I'm on a bit of a low-carb focus at the moment with Andrew. And I hear it floated around a lot, people talking about refeeds on carbs and the whole rebooting your system and, you know, it gives you the boost if you've had a problem or metabolism and all that. Is that a real thing or is that a load of crap?
So refeeds are a legitimate thing, right? Now, there was this theory going around at certain stages where it was, you know, you could go really low carbohydrate Monday to Friday, refeed Saturday, Sunday, and resensitize the system. That tends not to work. So diet breaks do work and refeeding can be beneficial, but you would need to do that for at least a week to get the body reused to the same calorie intake again. But there's only be a couple of reasons why I would refeed somebody, right? So if they were on lower carbohydrates and you wanted to give them more carbohydrates, have they stopped losing body fat? Are they starting to get resistant to the diet? So like, I mean, mentally, where they're starting to struggle with the diet, might give them a refeed in that circumstance. Or if the diet has just stopped working, they're the circumstances where I would generally use a refeed. But normally, you'd need at least a week to 3 weeks of maintenance to resensitize yourself to the old calories that you used to eat. So I guess in short, no. The refeed method is based in truth, but a lot of the anecdotal stuff out there is full of shit.
Legend. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem at all. Thanks for no problem, Joshua. Has anybody else got any questions? No? Yes, sir. Rene, go ahead.
Okay. So can you kind of dig into it just a little bit more? So if you're, because it kind of depends, right, on this question. So if your goal is to kind of, you know, maintain, you know, gain some muscle, lose some fat, earn your carbs, there's a lot of little variables that go into play. Go heavy in the morning. I guess it depends when you work out. Do you reward that workout or do you wait to go heavy on the carbs in the afternoon or in the morning? So it's kind of that's the tricky part for me that it's hard to really understand or make the best decision, I should say. I hear a lot of competing information because it depends, which is true. I get that. I guess it just depends on me specifically, right?
Yeah, so it depends on a lot of things, and that's the crappy answer, right? So people will, like, when you look online, you have to be sensational online to attract attention. Like, sitting on the fence will not sell anything for you. So, like, that's the difficulty. So people will say, like, okay, eight carbohydrates at any time are fine. Other people will say you can never have carbohydrates because they're the devil, right? Now, from what I see from most people, if you're incorporating carbohydrates within your diet and as part of your plan, I normally like to put them around training sessions, or I like to put them in the evening. So two reasons for that. During training, then you can utilize those carbohydrates for higher intensity performance. And then in the evening, carbohydrates are really, really effective at increasing serotonin and therefore melatonin, so they help you sleep.
Okay. I've heard both. So, So if you're on a low carb, and so I guess if you work out in the morning, so you would, let's just say, work out fasted, then you earn your carbs. So you can maybe break it up. That kind of makes sense. Okay. Okay.
No, for sure. And so if you look at like all things created equal in a calorie deficit, right, with adequate protein, fats and carbs don't really matter. If the goal is fat loss here, right? It actually, like when they put people in chambers and they monitor everything they eat, it doesn't seem to matter that much. But what I've seen anecdotally and what I get from a lot of coaches who I've spoken to through the years is like appetite control tends to be much, much better in a deficit when carbohydrates are lower most of the time. So like putting your carbohydrates around places where you use them effectively, I find to be quite beneficial. So like you said, if you train fasted, use your carbohydrates after that, and then use whatever carbohydrates you have left in the evening before you go to bed or close to bed.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks.
No problem. If nobody else has any questions, I'll finish up. I have to get a bus in about 4 hours to the airport, so I wouldn't mind getting a bit of sleep. But if anyone has any questions, more than happy to hang around, guys. We good? All right, gents. Have a lovely evening, and I hope to see you all soon.